We are live from Mountain West Media Days here at Green Valley Ranch. Joining us now, the commissioner of the Mountain West, Craig Thompson. And Craig, I want to start with something that BJ Raines had reported a couple weeks ago about Boise State and them basically turning down the option to be on ESPN2 or ESPNU for a 9 p.m. basketball game in favor of being on ESPN3, a streaming way only, with a 7 p.m. start time. How does that conversation happen as far as schools, and how much power do they have when it comes to individual games and being on TV or streaming and what time the game starts?
Well, I think you hit it right on the head. If they want to receive the revenue and have 40, 50 million more versus, I think, ESPN 3 now, ESPN Plus is in about 2.5 million homes. You know, if that's something that they feel strongly about, you know, they can address it, and we can ask ESPN if they'd be willing to not play on a 85 million platform and play on 2.5 million platform.
So it is ultimately you guys make a request to ESPN, and ESPN either says yes or no to that?
Correct.
Okay, so how often does that happen where a school says, yeah, we'd rather play streaming only and get an earlier start time?
I don't think it's too much, maybe a little more frequently basketball. Actually, it was New Mexico, and the only that's the only one this season. They said rather than play in front of a whole bunch of people in a national audience at 9, I'd rather stream it at 7.
As the commissioner, obviously not the one that's, you know, one of the fans going to the game, do you dislike when that happens? Like, would you prefer to have your teams on the bigger platform, even if it is a later start time?
You know, it's the fine balance of trying to get people into the arenas and coming to the games and having an interest versus, you know, what they're trying to do to promote their program and nationally. You know, the easy answer would be, no, I'd rather I'm playing in front of 85 million people potentially. But, you know, we all know for a fact not 85 million people are watching. Maybe a couple hundred thousand are watching.
When do you think the next broadcast deal will be signed and announced for the Mountain West?
Well, we've been working, you know, all summer from the late spring. I think we're getting closer to resolution, and you know, there's some issues and some compromises that have to be made if we have more than one network involved. And so, you know, the conversations are progressing well. I said in there, it's maybe we're getting into the fourth quarter now.
So is it going to be similar to the one right now where you have multiple partners and they go through the process of selecting games, or would it be more likely to be a one broadcast rights or one broadcast partner?
I would say it's more likely to be multiple.
So in similar setup now where, you know, ESPN and CBS are kind of the first tier and then it goes down from there?
Yes.
What did you think of the AAC and their deal with ESPN and ESPN Plus, where that's where all of their games will be?
I never would have done it. 12 years is a ridiculous amount of time, and they're going to spend a good amount of production dollars to produce. Almost 60-70% of their deal will be on ESPN Plus.
So the length is a problem, but would you have liked the idea of being on ESPN Plus with some of the games going to ESPN if it was a shorter deal?
Probably not.
So you like the idea of having ESPN and CBS Sports Network being able to put the games on those television channels?
Yeah, and you know, again, because our schools, many of our institutions don't have the wherewithal to produce those games at a broadcast quality level. And so let's say you get whatever millions in rights fees, and if you turn around and have to spend a million plus in production costs to put those games on, I think that's challenging.
How successful have the Mountain West games been that have been broadcasted on Facebook?
You know, pretty good. You know, billions of people could watch it. It was a great success, the Facebook game with Oregon State at Hawaii. It had a great number. In fact, the Oregon State fan said, this is better than the Pac-12 network. we can see it, and it's available, and we don't have to pay extra for it. So, you know, that's still a work in progress, and it's something that I think the industry is growing and progressing with.
So it's not that big of an issue for the Mountain West, but like the Pac-12 network doesn't have an agreement with DirecTV. If that was ever the case with one of your broadcast partners, like, how would that affect signing a new deal? If, oh, they're not available on DirecTV, they're not available on whatever that is, 40% of the people that have televisions.
Yeah. You know, again, it's a mindset. It depends. It's somewhat generational, how many people would rather and don't care what necessarily the medium is, as long as they can see the game. They just assume watch it on their phone or their iPad or their computer, and it doesn't have to be linear on a 60-inch hanging off the wall.
Mountain West Commissioner Craig Thompson with us. So one of the big talking points this morning has been the potential of a 20-game schedule for the basketball side of the Mountain West. Would going to a 20-game schedule ultimately help this conference get more teams in the NCAA tournament?
I don't know about that. There's a number of reasons to favor it. Obviously, there is some dissension in people that say it might not favor my institution particularly, but scheduling has become so hard and so demanding. We had some schools even 10 days ago, early in October, that hadn't even filled out this year's schedule. And so it gives you an opportunity to get a home game and a road game against known quality competition really at no cost.
So how do you balance, because you take UNLV, for example, can conceivably get pretty much any game that they would like to get versus an Air Force or a Wyoming who's going to struggle to get more games. Like, how do you balance that as the commissioner when it comes to, hey, we want to go to 20 because it's going to help out the Wyomings and the Air Force?
Well, I think UNLV would be much better served playing two more conference games than three or four of the people that are on their current schedule.
So how realistic is it for them to drop, if you add two more conference games, for them to drop the two bottom teams from their non-conference schedule rather than two of the middle or higher tier teams on their non-conference schedule?
I don't think it's a challenge at all. Just say, we're not going to play. It's in my gym, Thomas and Mack. We're not going to invite you.
Is that so for, say, a UNLV, like, what is their, what would you think their pushback to that would be if you say, hey, just don't play the bottom two teams, keep the rest of your schedule intact? Like, why, what would be the pushback from them on that?
I don't know. That's a question for UNLV.
So when we look at the 20-game schedule, how exactly would that go as far as scheduling games? Because this year you guys are playing games in early December, so how would that go in the future, is how early the non-conference season has to start?
Yeah, it's like the other 11 conferences that play 20 games. You will play in December.
Is it this year with the ones being in very early December and then you go back to your non-conference schedule, how do you think that affects? Does that change anything on your end for, like, those games being in early December and the way the conference
sets up? Probably no different than football. We play games in September, conference games in September. Not every conference game is played in October and November. You know, it's just an adjustment you make. But with the fewer non-conference quality opponents that are available, because all the conferences are going to 20 games, what is now a real problem and issue is probably going to exacerbate.
On the scheduling part of it, is there a potential that you guys in the future would open the season or play conference games in, you know, earlier, mid to late November instead of December?
Could. Probably not, but probably we're not going to be playing much in early December either, because with the Atlantic 10 Challenge coming up, it's going to be late December games, conference games.
So a couple years ago, you guys were getting just one team in the NCAA tournament. The last couple years, you've gotten multiple teams in there. But how, like, what's the most important thing for the Mountain West? Not just to get multiple teams in, but get to the point where you're having a couple of teams that are 2, 3, 4, 5 seeds rather than everybody being a 7 or an 8 or a 9 seed from the conference?
Yeah, both. You know, you want multiple teams in the NCAA tournament, and scheduling is a very important part of that. And to get the better seeds, we had single-digit seeds last year, and both lost their first-round games. Our history in the NCAA tournament, I think we've had 5 Sweet 16 teams in 20 years. So it's not been tremendous, but, you know, we the goal should be back to the 3 or 4 teams in the NCAA tournament, not just the automatic qualifier and a single at large.
So do you, when you are sort of setting out goals for the conference, is it more about simply getting quantity teams in there and not necessarily where they're seated at in the NCAA tournament?
Well, you know, it's the oldest cliche in the world is, you know, you can play yourself out of a bad seat by winning the game. You can't win a game if you're not in the tournament. So the first and foremost is to get multiple teams into the tournament. And those are luck of the draw. You know, you look at the seed and it doesn't necessarily mean a three is always going to win. Last year's a great example. Every 9 seed beat all 8 seeds. Every 10 seed beat all 7 seeds. 3 of the 4 12 seeds beat a 5 seed. So what does a seed mean?
Yeah, so when you look at getting better or getting more teams in and even getting higher seeds in the NCAA tournament, how much does that fall on the UNLVs, the San Diego States, and the New Mexicos to getting back to where the – because those are the schools with the, I guess, most likelihood to be powerhouses in basketball. How much is it on those three schools to get back to that level rather than relying on, say, Nevada or Utah State to be at the top of the conference?
Well, you know, you'd want those programs, like you just stated, historically. They've been prominent basketball programs. You know, back to the scheduling issue, Utah State, who's predicted to win the league this year, only plays New Mexico once at the Pit. They don't get them in Logan. And they don't get Boise State at home. New Mexico. And so, you know, the disparity in the scheduling is challenging too because, you know, people think, well, I'm adding two of the lesser prominent basketball programs if we go to 20 games. Well, it works in reverse. You don't get to play two of the best teams either.
Well, he is Craig Thompson, the commissioner of the Mountain West. Craig, we appreciate the time stopping by and talking with us.
Good. Good to be with you. So, thanks for coming out.
Thank you. We will take a break. We'll come back. We got UNLV football.